Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, happy to report that we have back on the show Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor and senior editor over at Gold Eagle. Now, Christopher, we love chatting technicals with you. We love watching over your videos and the stuff you send out to everyone that follows your technical outlooks. And I think there's a lot to talk about when it comes to precious metals and the recent moves, the price spikes we've seen over the last couple weeks, and how that changes some of the charts. Because look, gold was in about a, let's say, year and a half correction from those peaks back in August of 2020. And well, it really started to maybe bottom, I guess, in August of last year, and it was grinding for the most part sideways. And just in the last couple of weeks, boy, oh boy, really got moving to the upside here. And just as we're recording this late in the day on Tuesday, intraday touched right around an all-time high for gold. I know some people, it depends what exchange you're looking at, what time frame you're looking at. Either way, gold has really spiked over these last few weeks. What does that mean for the charts, Christopher?
Yeah, thank you, Corey and Shad, for having me back on. It's great to speak to you. As you said, Corey, gold did challenge its all-time high, functionally speaking, within $4 today, according to the spot price. It depends on which price you're looking at. But big picture, we got to take a step back here, talk about big picture for gold. Gold has triggered what we call in the technical world a cup and handle pattern. It has triggered that higher. The cup, if you can imagine, was the 9-year consolidation between the 2011 peak at 1920 and the 2020 peak at just over 2000. That was the cup part of the formation. And then the handle was this grind that we've been in for the last year and 9 months, just up until a few weeks ago, sort of the handle on a teacup, if you can imagine that. So the pattern, the cup and handle pattern, has been triggered. This is important for people to understand. It has been triggered to the upside by the break of the handle formation, that grinding consolidation that really wore out a lot of people over the last 18 months. And to define a target for a cup and handle pattern, what we do is we measure an amplitude of the entire depth of the cup up to the right side of the peak there, which gives us an amplitude of slightly over $1,000. And we add that amplitude onto the impulsive breakout of the handle formation, which happened just 3.5 weeks ago at $1,850 per ounce. So we have now, even though gold, you know, technically has not yet made a new all-time high, long-term target, you know, next 1 to 2 years or so, we have a high expectation for gold to be achieving $2,880, to be precise, is the level for gold. That is valid, unless proven otherwise, by a failure to hold the 1850 level on any correction. So gold is in buy the dip mode here. I think we could talk about the short term perhaps in a moment on some of these charts, but big picture, gold looks extremely good here at this moment.
Yeah, that's an encouraging thought. And we have discussed, Christopher, that cup and handle with a number of technicians on the show, and everybody's been watching for that breakout. And as you mentioned, when it broke that 1850, that downward sloping trend line, we finally had it. It was on. It's broken above some key moving averages. So longer term, it does look like a bullish setup, and that continuation of the cup and handle pattern will continue to play out over the next year or two. But on the short term, you had mentioned before we started recording that you may see some weakness in the near term. I'd wonder where you think that the ceiling may be. And if we did correct in gold, where would you be looking for it to correct down to?
Yeah, so gold, as we're speaking, is kind of moving vertically here the last few days. And especially when vertical moves happen on geopolitical events, such as the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine, those types of moves, when we look back at history, they tend to not be sustainable. So that's why you're seeing a lot of the gold miners lagging here over the short run. You know, the quintessential example of that was the price spike after September 11th. Gold had spiked in percentage terms almost 8% right after September 11th, 2001. And within 3 months, that entire move was given back. That would be equivalent to like a $130 price spike today. So over the short run, we're in no man's land here for gold. I could just as easily see gold reversing starting tomorrow and drop $100 to $200 and kind of come back to that 1850 level. Or I could see that reversal starting from higher levels, let's say 2200, 2300, and then maybe coming back to 2000, maybe coming back right below 2000 to get the mainstream media saying, hey, gold is back below 2000, see, it was a bubble, you know, and then we continue higher from there. Really the best way, and I think this is an advantage that we have as precious metals investors, is that we have different components of this sector to refer to. And in times like this, where gold is basically in no man's land, I mean, it could just keep going vertical from here, but this correction could happen at any point. It's in our interest to look at the other components of the sector. So specifically what I'm referring to is silver here, which broke just a week and a half ago above its downward channel from the previous year and a half. And so silver here, as we're speaking, is trading at $26.40. When I look at the silver chart, there's really not a whole lot of resistance up until we get to around 29 or 30 again, some of those peaks from 2020 and 2021. There are some shorter term, you know, potential little 1 to 2 day, 1 week type pivot points coming up. There's one right here at 26.50. You know, there's another pivot point at 27.25. But when I'm talking about real strong resistance on silver, there's nothing until we get into that $29 to $30 level. So what I think is going to happen here is that silver is going to continue higher here for the next 1 to 2 weeks, start approaching $29 to $30. And I think wherever gold is at that time, when silver reaches that clear resistance, that's where gold is going to have a $100 to $200 very quick, very violent pullback from that point. And when we have that correction and start rounding out, and let's say things get just a little bit more boring than they are now, I think then the real move, the sustainable move toward those higher targets will begin from there.
So eventually that war premium, the war's not over, and there still is some upside potentially here for gold and silver. And you mentioned, look, silver does need to get up somewhere around that 29-30 level where it peaked out in 2020 and very start of 2021 on that silver squeeze. Silver, though, in the long-term sense, doesn't have that same cup and handle formation because it hasn't been able to run back to some of those highs right around $50. Anything telling you in the chart why silver doesn't have that cup and handle formation and we're looking at $30 instead of $50 as a breakout level?
Yeah, as a back note, silver actually will have a cup and handle pattern of sorts to register, but it's actually going to be after we break above 50. We're going to start having some wildly higher amplitude measurements of the entire 50-year consolidation below the $50 level mark. But that's not, you know, that's not right here, right now, especially in relation with what we were talking about, Corey, with respect to gold's cup and handle pattern, which is a 10-year pattern. We're talking about from the peak in 2011 until today. So you're correct. Silver has no relative pattern there as far as a defined amplitude target at this point. It has been lagging here. You know, it's been lagging really since the lows in 2015 and the low in 2020. That said, that's fairly typical for the sort of early to middle innings, to use the baseball analogy, of a precious metals bull market. At the exact moment that we are in, silver, as we said, kind of has some clearing room here up until 29.30. I would expect it from there to have a multi-dollar pullback, perhaps back down to 25 or 26. When we break 30, though, on some weekly closes, it will basically be an all clear signal that silver is ready. Realistically, what we can look at is silver being ready to start the advance back to the $50 level mark. So it will, relatively speaking, be still a laggard type of situation for silver, in that, you know, silver, reasonably speaking, will only get back to its 2011 peak, whereas gold will be perhaps $1,000 above its 2011 peak. That still shows me that we're relatively early in this cycle. We can talk about some short-term pivots that'll happen along the way. There'll probably be a short-term pivot for silver around the $37 to $38 mark, perhaps, you know, a back off there for a couple months, and then continue on higher toward 50. You know, but I think from here to 50 is almost a doubling. You know, that's not going to happen this calendar year. I could see it being 2023, the way things are shaping up. So it will be a nice move in silver in percentage terms. And a lot of these silver miners, I think, in percentage terms, are going to rise 500 to 1,000%. You know, from 50, we take a huge pause and we talk about how much of a retracement needs to happen before we can assess the scenario to eventually conquering 50 sometime, let's say, within the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. That's not a discussion yet for today.
Well, Christopher, that's a great point that generally silver lags the move in gold. Gold's kind of the prime mover. It moves first, and then eventually silver does play catch up. And then the miners do play catch up from there. And yeah, if silver moves up past 30 and gets to that $37, $38 pivot level, even that move will really boost a lot of these silver stocks. But it's hard to imagine where some of them could go at a $50 silver price. But let's look at the mining stocks. Let's dig into that a little bit. I guess let's start with just the biggest ETFs, like your GDX, your GDXJ for gold, or SIL or SILJ for silver. I mean, what's your outlook on the mining stocks, considering a lot of people in the sector are frustrated that they haven't moved as much as when gold was at these prices last time in August of 2020, or technically, if you look back to 2011, when gold was at 1921 for the all-time high, many of the big majors were two or three times higher than they are now. So what do you make of the mining stocks at this current setup? Do they have more room to run to just play catch up with the metals?
Yeah, a lot of good points in there. And yeah, there have been some issues, especially with certain of the major miners that make up, for example, like the GDX index, with declining production levels or declining reserves over the last 10 years amidst some dilution to the stocks. That said, over the more intermediate term, there has simply been lagging, as you said, Chad. And I think the lagging here is very similar to the lagging that happened actually at the last major, major bottom in this sector, which was in late 2015. We're talking the bottom from the bear market after the 2011 peak. Just an example, the GDX back there in late 2015, gold bottomed at $1,045 per ounce in December of 2015, right as the Fed was making their first interest rate hike. The GDX fell into January. It actually fell another 15% lower, even after gold itself was already about $75 higher off of its lows in 2015. And it was just the classic kind of capitulation example where some of these gold mining investors had taken so much pain for so long and they just threw in the towel at the very end at the exact worst moment. I had been discussing with a lot of my colleagues here the grinding into the lows on the GDX around the 28, 2930 level here just a month and a half ago. And we were saying how from a sentiment and a technical standpoint, especially from a sentiment standpoint, I think the sentiment in this sector had gotten as bad as it has been at any point since that 2015 bottom, since that major 2015 bottom, certainly worse than the 2018 bottom, which was a pretty significant rally following that. So the sentiment got so bad here in the handle, which is exactly what it's supposed to do. The handle is supposed to wash out most of the sector so that the impulsive move that we're seeing right now happens with very few people participating in it. So I think the sentiment got so bad and reset, and we're still just, you know, we're only, if you look at the GDX, I mean, the GDX bottomed late January, you know, gold was already almost $200, $150 off of its lows. The GDX was just bottoming. It's that same kind of capitulation signal. So we're really only here 5 weeks into this move in the GDX. And you got to remember, it's going to take some time for, we're seeing gold move first. From there, it's going to be physical silver that moves. Then it's going to be the senior large cap gold miners. Then it's going to be the mid-tier gold miners. And then it's the junior gold miners. And so the lagging here, to me, I'm actually extremely encouraged by this because it's telling me we're in the very beginning of this move. I think for individuals, it's a very important time to look at the composition of your mining portfolio. So it's normal to be feeling some level of frustration right now, seeing a lot of the juniors just kind of grinding, moving sideways, maybe up marginally as gold is up here so much. That's normal. But if you're feeling too much frustration, like you can't handle it anymore, what it's saying is you should probably have a slightly higher weighting toward the mid-tier or the large cap miners or even some of the funds, you know, the GDX, GDXJ, SIL or SILJ. You want to have some portion of your portfolio that at least you know is kind of going to move day in and day out with the prices of the metals. But then if you have a higher risk tolerance and you're really trying to hit a home run and let's say, you know, get those 5 to 10 to 20 baggers, you must accept that these things are going to grind for a while, the juniors, and then they're going to play catch up. But I think it's a question of having that proper individual allocation, and only the individual is going to be able to tell what the proper allocation is, because then you'll have some things that move now and you'll have some things that move on steroids a few months from now or a year from now.
Yeah, that process of money rotating more or less down the food chain when we do see markets spike. What about volume too? It's something that has caught our eyes, the fact that we have seen a general uptick in volume if you look at something like GDX, but in no way is it screaming higher in volume, broadly lower than 2019, broadly lower than 2020. It's just higher than 2021. You interpret any of the volume metrics into the technical analysis and on the back of the price spike?
Yeah, I do. And the volume, you're correct about that. You know, a nice volume day today, maybe the highest in the last year or so. So it's starting to tick up a little bit, but certainly nothing compared to what was seen, you know, in some of those 2020 moves or even going back a few years prior to that. So it's telling me that in the mining sector, there's no enthusiasm yet. There's no conviction that this is the real move. This move is being priced in as an anomaly, that this is a geopolitical price spike that is going to be given back. And like we talked about in the very beginning, I think a significant portion of the geopolitical price spike will be given back. I think it'll start from higher levels. That said, the price action here that has happened here over just the last 4 weeks, the breaking of the handle part, even if the entire move of the last 4 weeks was given back, let's say starting tomorrow, we fall $200 back down to 1850. As long as we hold above 1850, which every indicator that I see right now tells me that we will, then even this two steps forward, two steps back, and then start to round up again, that process is exactly the process that we wanted to see. And at some point, you will see the enthusiasm start to return to the sector with the volume. I just think we're early right now.
Okay. Christopher, always great chatting with you, man. Thank you for breaking down these charts, making some sense out of these charts, and sharing some of your levels, long-term, much higher levels for gold and silver. And yeah, whenever this war does end, we probably will see a general pullback. And I do appreciate you putting an actual number on that pullback, because we've asked a lot of people that question and no one's given us any defined levels. So I do appreciate what you've broken down for us. And man, I'm going to keep following along with your technical outlook. We will also post a link to iGold Advisor below, and we'll have you back on the show, hopefully in a relatively near term. So, hey, Christopher, thank you again for your time, man.
Thank you so much, guys. Take care of yourselves.